Let's head over to the KRDO Newsline. We are joined by legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. And Thane, we have now hit not one, but two Tuesdays since that self-announced deadline of a possible indictment and arrest for former President Donald Trump. So what is the latest right now when it comes to that case currently being heard by a Manhattan grand jury?
They're not meeting this week, Andrew. We thought they would and ultimately vote. They heard from this is all supposed to be secret, but it's not been secret at all. We learned that the last witness was actually the publisher of the National Enquirer. And so apparently all witnesses have already testified. All the evidence has already been shown to the grand jury. All that's left for them to do is vote. I think people are still expecting that when they do vote, they'll get a majority to charge the president. But I think that what we're also seeing is a lot of second doubts and cold feet that have, you know, sort of surfaced over the last week, because otherwise you'd think they'd already get the vote over with. Instead, they're apparently working on other cases and not on the Trump case.
Yeah, and of course, this all comes from another, you know, instance that was supposed to have been secret, that hush money involving Stormy Daniels right now, and even, you know, the National Enquirer as far as how they secretly assisted the Trump campaign with those payments to secure rights to the story as well, too. So really, a lot of the stuff that was supposed to have been secret, both procedurally and well as the initial instance, now coming out into public light. And as, you know, with that legal expertise, does the former president coming out and now campaign rallies over the weekend in Texas, claiming that a lot of this might be verging on campaign interference, would that weigh a potential jury to swing one way or another with these proceedings?
Well, it's interesting how Trump turned it all around, right? Instead of saying, you know, the idea that up until now it has been influence peddling on his side, but he's basically saying now that these cases are really intended to interfere with the fairness of his election, because there's always some prosecution and investigation hanging over his head. And it always seems to surface, especially when he announces that he's ready to run for president. You know, as for the secrecy, he didn't get his money's worth. You know, spent $130,000, and the whole world knows about it. You know, there's nothing illegal about, hush money. What's illegal is whether the money was given to his lawyer as a end run, essentially to help his campaign. Money used for the election, as opposed to money used to save his marriage. There's nothing wrong with him entering into agreement. There's all kinds of non-disclosure agreements that are, being negotiated in Colorado as we speak. Somebody's negotiating to keep someone quiet. The issue here is, you know, what was his intent and what was his motive? I think that's a problematic from a prosecutorial standpoint, and it might have something to do with why we haven't seen charges yet, because although the case is very salacious, it's a great divorce case. I'm not sure that it's a great case, a criminal case, and that's, I think, what's being mulled over now.
Yeah, and there's another, you know, big hearing as well, another kind of legal precedent being set, saying that Mike Pence now has to testify before another grand jury in the allegations as far as former President Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election as well. And that's something that Pence had been trying to avoid for some time.
So, Andrew, that case emanates from the special prosecutor who is handling both the Mar-a-Lago documents case and the January 6th case. So that's not in New York, that's in Washington, D.C. That's in federal court. The one in New York is in state court. So this goes to a judge's order that said last week that neither of the six of the closest advisors to President Trump could invoke the executive privilege, which is granted normally to advisors to incentivize them to give candid and frank advice to the president. A judge has ruled that they can't rely on the executive privilege to prevent their testimony. And now that same judge, the same court, has ruled the same thing in connection with Mike Pence, that he can't rely on executive privilege. The question there is, could he anyway? Because, you know, he's not technically an advisor to the president. And, you know, as vice president, he's, you know, so that's one issue. So I guess it's not surprising that he wasn't granted the privilege, given the fact that the closer advisors weren't granted either. But he also raised the speech and debate clause, which is in the Constitution, which says that you can't, it's a separation of powers issue. You can't prosecute a senator or a congressperson, an elected representative, for things that he says in connection with his job in voting on legislation. It was intended by the founding fathers to protect congresspersons from the executive branch or the judicial branch, right? You can't come after me if I'm doing the business of the people. The question there is Mike Pence a senator, right? He's not really, as he's, yes, he breaks a tie, but he's not actually a senator. And so the court in this case said, yeah, you can invoke it only to protect something that you might have said that implicates you, but you still have to give testimony in connection with something that implicates the president.
Yeah, very interesting to see how this will all play out. Thane, we appreciate the time this morning.
Anytime for you, Andrew. Thank you.